Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this pre-recorded program. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, May 26, 2020. A woman is beaten to death for refusing to marry a man in Rumbek town.
The brothers decided to torture her up to death. So they killed a young lady. Police immediately went and apprehend all the members.
And South Sudanese peace partners blame the coronavirus for the slow implementation of security arrangements.
The forces which are now on the ground, which went for the training centers, have not been graduated simply because of the coronavirus.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A 19-year-old woman was beaten to death in Rumbek on Saturday after she refused to marry a man her family chose for her. Elijah Mabor Makwach, the police spokesperson in Lake State, says police are holding the woman's brother and two paternal uncles involved in the violence. Residents of Rumbek town and civil society activists are condemning the incident and have called on the government to ensure the perpetrators of domestic violence are punished. For VOA News, William Sande Mabor reports from Rumbek.
Captain Elijah Mabor Makwai says police are looking for a fourth suspect in connection with the beating. He says the woman's parents filed divorce papers on behalf of their daughter and the couple was officially divorced. Last Saturday, Makwai says the parents arranged for their daughter to marry a man they chose for her.
The brothers decided to torture her up to death. So they killed a young lady. Police immediately went and apprehend all the members who participate in the torturing.
It is not clear how many heads of cattle the groom was going to pay, but in Lake State, bride price ranges from 50 to 300 cows, depending on a number of factors, such as the woman's education, her height, and a man's economic status. Captain Makwai urges state residents to stop forcing their daughters to marry men they do not choose to be their husband.
Instead of killing your own daughter, people should give the privacy to the lady, to the daughters. If she decided to choose a man of her choice, then she can be given that chance. The law says whoever kill somebody is guilty because no one is given freedom of killing people. Otherwise, the whole world would have finished. When you commit yourself until you reach that extent of killing somebody, then automatically what remain now, it will be you and the law who will then decide it, what will be the fate of the victim.
Gabriel Mabor Mangar, Lake State Coordinator for the National NGO Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, condemns the incident.
It is a total violation of human rights. You can't take somebody's life. You have to talk and convince your daughter or your sister until you find a way.
Under Dinka customary law, Mangar says if a woman refuses a forced marriage and insists on marrying a man of her choice, the man she marries is charged a fine of 36 cows on top of the agreed to dowry. Rumbek resident Benjamin Makur Mabor urged authorities to punish the woman's parents for killing their daughter. Makur says even if the man the family chose was willing to pay for her hand in marriage with 100 or 200 head of cattle, a woman should never be forced to marry a man.
We really condemn the act and we completely don't like such behaviors in our community. We've been talking to the community to stop such behavior because there's nothing that worth human life.
In the past, Makur says families would resolve such matters peacefully.
Previously, in this community, when a lady is impregnated or sometimes elope, that means they are in love. And it's upon the elders to call themselves, sit down, discuss. If there is anything they have, they can offer to the parents. As peace partners, as community always, we try to bring communities together and we educate them not to be fighting when a girl is impregnated or sometimes elope by a certain community.
It is not the first time a young woman was killed in Lake State for refusing a forced marriage. In April last year, 18-year-old woman in Yerul West County was killed by her parents for refusing a forced marriage. And in January this year, two brothers were arrested in Fairbed County with the killing their teenager sister when she refused to marry a man chosen by her parents. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur, reporting in Rumbek Lake State.
Still on domestic violence, Sudanese officials say the number of reported cases of domestic violence against women and girls during the COVID-19 lockdown has increased in the capital. The head of the gender department at the Ministry of Social Welfare says her office has recorded more than 40 incidents of domestic violence against women and girls in Khartoum and other states within the past 1 month. For VOA News, Michael Atid reports from Khartoum.
Suleyma Al-Khalifa, head of Sudan's gender department at the Social Welfare Ministry, says her office has documented 42 incidents of gender-based violence against women and girls within Khartoum and other towns across Sudan. Al-Khalifa says the reports indicate women are being raped and beaten by male members of their households, including husbands and brothers.
The cases is coming from all over Sudan, but mostly clustered around Khartoum. Most are the domestic violence, and the type of abuse is physical abuse. More, there's cases of imprisonment, that people are tied up and imprisoned. And we know that there's other cases that not reached for the services.
Al-Khalifa says for 30 years under the former president Omar al-Bashir's rule, there were no laws to protect women. A situation, she says, exposed them to abuse within their families. She says the 3 decades of oppression has contributed towards the recent increase on gender-based violence across the country. Al-Khalifa says as much as officials in the Social Welfare Ministry have advocated for the rights of women, the absence of legislation making physical abuse a crime hinders effort aimed at combating gender-based violence. Al-Khalifa is urging the government to enact laws that protect women and girls from domestic violence.
We don't have a gender-based law, and we don't have a law that criminalizes domestic violence, for example. That's why when we are working with survivors outside, we advocate and we support by our presence, especially the cases related to early marriage, because there's a lot of domestic violence happened within early marriage process.
Al-Khalifa says the government has introduced a hotline to provide psychosocial support to domestic violence survivors during the COVID-19 lockdown. She says the lockdown was meant to protect families from becoming infected, but some are using this time to abuse their wives and daughters.
How to solve your problems within family and how people could get use of this time of staying home, getting to know each other, solving their problems, trying to solve to get the positive aspect, but also to address and talk about the negative aspect of the high rate of domestic violence happening in the society.
Al-Khalifa says her department is collaborating with local and international NGOs to draft a bill that would help in addressing the issue of domestic violence in Sudan.
And that also includes the safe house, the trained police, the special judiciary, everything. It's actually comprehensive law. And it just in the process of reviewing and things, and then it will go to the Minister of Justice, so to be endorsed finally, and we'll work very hard to push for the signing and for acceptance.
Al-Khalifa calls on all family members to take full responsibility for protection of women and girls within their communities. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The government of South Sudan says COVID-19 pandemic has affected the implementation of parts of the revitalized peace agreement. South Sudan's Minister of Information says the peace partners suspended the training of a 3,000-strong VIP protection force. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Under the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement, South Sudan was to train and deploy 3,000 army and SPLA-IO forces to provide protection to the president, first vice presidents, and other high-ranking officials. But Information Minister Michael Makwe says COVID-19 has disrupted the security arrangements.
The forces which are now on the ground, which went to for the training centers, have not been graduated simply because of the coronavirus. Otherwise, the second group, the second batch would have gone in now, and the first batch would have been graduated and deployed.
Near the end of March, the Joint Transitional Security Committee, the body in charge of implementing security arrangements, suspended the training of forces to prevent the spread of the pandemic. 2 weeks ago, before he was fired, Gabriel Jokriak, the former chief of defense forces, told forces to prepare for graduation ceremonies scheduled for May 18th. Major General Lul Rai Kong, a spokesman for the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, says graduation was postponed due to COVID-19 restrictions.
Some steps were to be taken in preparation for their graduation. One was deliveries of the uniforms needed. Secondly, prepositioning of food, rehearsal for their graduation. One of the requirements for social distancing to be observed. And that one also meant a reduction of support staff. So we have been operating under capacity to ensure that our servicemen and women are not infected.
SPLAIO spokesperson Colonel Lampol Gabriel says that deployment of VIP protection forces was also delayed because of many VIPs, including members of the former high-level task force on COVID-19, tested positive for the coronavirus.
With the spread of the coronavirus at the moment, we cannot really deploy these forces here because they will be coming, you know, even they may be okay, they may be safe wherever they are at the moment. But when they are deployed within Juba or maybe outside Juba in this town to protect this, especially the VIPs, you know, almost all these VIPs, they contracted this disease. So it will be like they are also going to spread this disease to these forces.
Lam says the recent sacking of the chief of defense forces has also delayed the process.
You have heard of recent leadership change of the CDF of SSPDF from Gabriel Jokriak to General JJ. He is here to have the first meeting with the JDB so that they continue with the work of Jokriak. That also is affecting the implementation of the security arrangements.
While the implementation of security arrangements has been delayed by the pandemic, Makwei says delays in reconstituting the transitional National Legislative Assembly and forming state governments is due to lack of political will among the parties.
The delay in the establishment of the national legislature and the state legislatures and the even appointment of the governors is not because of the coronavirus, because of us.
Earlier this month, Mayika Yeding, the Minister for Presidential Affairs, announced the parties had reached agreement on the allocation of governors. First Vice President and SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar quickly refuted the announcement, insisting that no such agreement was reached. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, what is the impact of COVID-19 on refugees? Stay tuned for that story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
can you share an inspirational quote and where you heard it from?
Heavy rains are a reminder of challenges in life. Never ask for a lighter rain. Just pray for better umbrella. I just came across it while I was reading something on social media.
This quote I just added from church. The father was like, "For those who seek, always find. And so fight endlessly for what you want for the future."
Friends are like buttons on the lift. They either bring you down or take you up. I heard it while I was in secondary school and it stuck since then.
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah will have solution to whatever problems. It is from the Holy Quran.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. In our Tuesday health segment, we look at the health of refugees in the Middle East. Syrian refugees in Turkey are reeling from the coronavirus pandemic lockdown that has put most of them out of work. These families say in Syria they hide in their homes, fearing bombs or bullets outside. Now they are locked down, fearing the virus, homelessness, and hunger. VOA's Heather Murdock reports from Istanbul.
8 Syrian refugees have been living in a two-room apartment, and a 3-year-old girl, Zainab, is crying out for food. The adults plucked grape leaves from a tree to make an evening meal, but it is already afternoon, and Zainab's mother says her daughter and the other children haven't eaten all day. The rent here is cheap for Istanbul, only $30 a month, but for this family, it is still too much. Ismahan, the crying child's mother, says they haven't paid the rent in 2 months, and the landlord is threatening to kick them out. Her family normally sells tissues to drivers at traffic lights, but since the pandemic began, this kind of work is not allowed. Like most Syrian refugees in Turkey, they are doing informal work and now have no income. A patchwork of aid organizations provides some money, food, and supplies, but it's never enough. Parents say they fear their children will starve if the pandemic continues. Marwa, a mother of 5, says in Syria they were locked down by the war, afraid of being killed by airstrikes if they went out. Now they are locked down by the COVID-19 pandemic, afraid of getting sick if they go out, and of starving if they do not. Turkey hosts over 3.5 million Syrian refugees, more than any other country. Public resentment towards refugees runs deep, and the government has encouraged them to leave. Refugees say as Turkey grows poorer because of the pandemic, locals become more and more hostile. This is Mohammed, Marwa's husband. In Syria, he was an opposition fighter. After fleeing to Turkey, he fixed motorcycles and painted walls as a day laborer before the pandemic put him out of work. Mohammed says he now stays up at night, fearing his children will soon be on the streets. Even after war and displacement, he adds, the hardest thing he's ever had to do is to say no when his hungry children ask for food. Heather Murdock, VOA News, Istanbul.
The UN Refugee Agency reports hundreds of thousands of refugees living in cities across East Horn and Great Lakes region of Africa are struggling to survive as the economic impact of COVID-19 takes hold. The UNHCR says refugees are resorting to desperate measures to provide for their most basic needs. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Government-imposed lockdowns and curfews aimed at preventing the spread of the coronavirus are restricting everyone's freedom of movement and ability to earn a living. The UN Refugee Agency says urban refugees are most seriously affected by the measures and unable to meet their most basic needs. UNHCR spokesman Charlie Yaxley says many urban refugees are at risk of exploitation and falling into debt. He warns many may be forced to take desperate measures to survive, such as engaging in transactional sex or child labor.
Urban refugees are facing job losses as businesses are forced to downsize or close due to COVID-19 restrictions. And many were daily wage workers or worked in the informal economy and were already living hand to mouth before the pandemic struck. Many urban refugees are also living in overcrowded and unhygienic conditions and are particularly vulnerable to the spread of the virus.
Yaxley says thousands of refugees in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, are crammed into squalid districts with little access to clean water, making hand washing nearly impossible. He says governments across the East Horn and Great Lakes region so far have included refugees in COVID-19 response plans. He tells VOA refugees have the same access to testing and treatment as members of the local communities.
So our call today is for governments to also ensure that refugees are included in social safety nets so that they are able to access welfare support payments, so that they are able to get assistance with meeting their basic needs, so that they're able to pay rent for their shelters, so that they're able to afford food.
The UNHCR says food imports have become more challenging because of the pandemic, causing prices to rise. Additionally, it says swarms of locusts, especially in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia, are ravaging crops and threatening to increase hunger and poverty. The agency is urging the international community to support its emergency response plan. It says $126 million is required to provide life-saving assistance before the rapidly deteriorating situation in the region reaches a breaking point. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Botswana's strict COVID-19 border checks have affected truck drivers who say they spend days waiting to be cleared. Botswana has so far confirmed only 35 COVID-19 cases and one dead, but the country began requiring border testing amid rising concerns about imported infections. Mkondisi Dube reports for VOA from Gaborone.
Truck drivers are growing frustrated with long delays at Botswana's borders due to required COVID-19 testing. The truckers say they wait for up to 5 days before being cleared to deliver goods in Botswana or transit through the country. Zambian truck driver Amon Piri complains there are no washing facilities at the border checkpost and they run out of food while waiting for results.
We are frustrated with the situation going on. We've been kept in Botswana since we crossed from Zambia for about 5 days now. No results. And we are all truck drivers gathered in one place, about 100 trucks. And we are being kept here with a single toilet, no water, no food. We are only using the bush as a core of nature.
Piri urged Botswana authorities to speed up the testing.
They told us results are going to be out in 72 hours, but up to now, nothing has come out. We are appealing to the authorities to take action now.
South African truck driver Malusi Dlamini says the delays have led to tensions across the border in South Africa. He says some South African truckers are threatening to block trucks entering from Botswana if the situation is not resolved.
It's a frustrating situation. We hope that it will be addressed soon before tensions boil over. There are long queues of up to 10 kilometers of trucks waiting to be cleared.
Botswana truck drivers are also subjected to COVID-19 tests when they re-enter the country. Landlocked, Botswana imports about two-thirds of its goods from South Africa. Botswana's COVID-19 task force team head, Dr. Kiring Masupu, acknowledged the challenges faced by truck drivers. But he says remedial action cannot be taken overnight. Steps will be taken to improve the lives of drivers while awaiting their results, says Masupum, and their welfare should be taken seriously as they provide an essential service. Botswana introduced COVID-19 testing for truck drivers after confirming several imported cases of the coronavirus from truckers in the past week. Mkondisi Dube for VOA News, Gaborone.
Family members beat a 19-year-old woman to death in Rumbek, the capital of Lake State, last weekend after she refused to marry a man chosen by her parents, according to officials. Lake State Police spokesman Captain Eliha Mabor Makwek says Albetak Matueni Beale's brother and two uncles were detained and are expected to be charged with murder. Makwek says Matueni eloped with a man 3 weeks ago, but her family rejected that man since he could not pay a dowry. The woman's parents filed divorce papers for their daughter, had partnership finalized and arranged for her to marry a rich man. When she refused, Makowak says, her brothers tortured her. A Lake State bride price ranges from 50 to 300 cows, depending on the woman's education, her height, and the husband's standing. Makowak has urged families to stop the practice of forced marriages in the area. A Sudanese official says reports of domestic violence against women and girls have been on the rise since the COVID-19 lockdown was put in place. A social welfare ministry official says 42 incidents of domestic violence were reported over the past month. Sulaim Al Khalifa, head of the gender department of Sudan's social welfare ministry, says the reports indicate women are being raped and beaten by male members of their households. She says under former President Omar al-Bashir's 30-year rule, there were no laws to protect women, a situation that exposed them to abuse in the home. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Corona Ja by Kero Simon.
Rile mama 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 basma malu mama malu baba malu mama rile mama corona wasolo rile baba corona wasolo rile mama 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 basma malu mama corona corona jakum virus corona Corona jakom virus Corona Corona jakom kasele yeda gai moi sabun kasele yeda be sabun o kasele yeda kyatle nadif zundo bera zunda chekuru ni kugli halme gunbire mininga gunbire Sudan in Gummy, who will you know be? Yambia, yo, Minikali Gaja, Gaja Napal, Minikali Gaja, Miano Kutamburo, yo, Kandukali Gaja, Kandukoizo, yo, Minikali Gaja, simple. Corona Jacum, Corona Jacum. Ekubayo miadanga yote mianunga yote jal mianunga yote mininga wuri junubi mianunga yote borojubayan miankali gaja gajana pare minikali gaja corona ja webama.
We've been listening to Kero Simon with the song Corona Ja. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mambo kana sene,
ima konsa yambia yo mine tu yambia yonga konsa kundire mine yambia yonga konsa 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 ngai ajama ashani jono konsa mem shamba saderma.